We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, it's a Wednesday edition of College Sports Now. You know the drill by now, all right? Is it officially December yet? How many days are there in the month of November?
No, it's tomorrow.
It's December 1st.
Okay.
30th.
Okay.
31st.
Yes.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. That'd be the day people hear this.
Yes, there is no 31st day of November. It is December 1, people. So if you
31st
don't,
of November if, sounds like a country song.
If you don't know by now, he's Michael Cerber, the dude, El Cerberino on Twitter. Wayne Cook, former UCLA quarterback, is with us. No Phil Steele tonight. He's laying low. Couldn't join the program. That's fine. I'm not going to beat him up. We'll bring him around next time to talk some bowl games. Folks, we got a lot to get to. College football playoff rankings, coaching carousel, rivalry weekend in the books, some phenomenal games. Wayne, I would love to just kind of start here, okay? Because people came up to me during the week and they were like, man, I can't wait to listen to you and Wayne on Wednesday. And I was like, really? Why? And they're like, because I want to get his takes on Lincoln moving in across town.
Oh, boy.
So, Wayne, Sunday morning, you're going about your business. You know, you're like brushing your teeth. You're drinking, what you know, like your smoothie, and you're having your quinoa pancakes. And you get the news, it comes across the wire, that Lincoln Riley's taking the USC job, man. So, take me there. Paint the picture. What was that like for you?
So just to paint the picture even more, so I got home. So it was a late game, UCLA Cal.
Very late.
Cal got their butts kicked by UCLA, who, by the way, dominated November and ended up 8-4. And I'll get into that a little bit later.
Nice season. Nice.
Very, very nice season. But I mean, but it could have been better. We had some injury issues in the middle part of the year. But listen, I'm going to talk about Lincoln. So I actually drove home. I'm about an hour and a half away from the Rose Bowl to 2 hours away from the Rose Bowl, but then I had to turn around in the morning and drive back to UCLA to MC the banquet, which is a really cool thing that I get asked to do. It's one time a year I get to dress up in a coat and tie and go, you know, be Ryan Seacrest for an afternoon. And it was during the event that your phone starts blowing up and everybody's kind of like, oh, Lincoln Riley's at SC. Here's what I think, and here was the idea. Screw him. Who cares? They brought back John Robinson when I played. And it was like, oh, John Robinson, he coached Marcus Allen, and they won national championships. Like, we kicked their ass when he was there. 4-0, never lost to him. So what? People, like, have this idea that, oh, it's SC. I heard one person, they'll be in the playoffs within 2 years. He's got a rebuild. He took over Oklahoma. I don't even have to look. I'm willing to bet you they won 9 or 10 games the year that Stoops left. You guys gonna fact check that pretty quick? I didn't look, but I'm assuming they were really good because Bob Stoops was a heck of a coach. He was the offensive coordinator. He inherited a very, very good team. This is a rebuild. This is a U.S. team that just lost to UCLA 62-33. Okay? Yes, I have heard since this has all happened, there was a big-time recruit from Southern California that was on his way to go to Oklahoma and is now on his way to USC. He's staying home. Well, guess what? They already have Jackson Dart, who was a big-time recruit, 4- or 5-star. They already have Miller Moss, who was a 4- or 5-star guy. It's like they can only play one quarterback. Great. SC can be good, but as a UCLA person, so what?
Wow.
It's not like in the 80s, SC wasn't good. UCLA still beat them plenty of times, played in 3 Rose Bowls. In the 90s, SC had good players. I played against guys like Keyshawn Johnson and Willie McGinnis, and I mean, guys that are like big-time pros. We still beat them. So bring it on. I hope they're good. UCLA's climbing. They have improved slowly but surely, and I'll make a connection here. When Chip Kelly left, or when he took the job at Oregon as the head coach, it was a very similar situation to what Lincoln Riley had. He was an offensive coordinator under a coach. I believe that they had won 10 games the year before he became the head coach, and he just took it to the next level, put him in, you know, playing for a national championship. And so Lincoln had done that too, although I do not think that Lincoln Riley won a national championship. But either way, it's a good hire for them. I think it's good for the Pac-12, but as a UCLA person, it doesn't scare me one bit. I think UCLA is going in the right direction. I like our coach and Chip Kelly, and I say bring it on.
Serber, are you surprised by Wayne doubling down on this? Because I mean, you're basically saying, Wayne, like, let's go, bring it on. Like,
yeah.
let's line up and let's play.
What do you want me to do? Oh no, Lincoln Riley was at Oklahoma, and I've seen Oklahoma. I've seen them play. They've been good.
Wayne, I don't need to go back into the archives, but you've been gushing over Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma for the last several years we've been doing the show together. Gushing. And now he's in your backyard, buddy.
So here's the deal.
It's different.
So here's the deal. So first of all, here's what's interesting. We've had some lateral moves in college football that has probably made this offseason really intriguing. Because now that we have Kelly going to LSU.
Yeah, that happened too, like, by the way. We'll get to that. Yes, Brian Kelly is a Cajun now. Yes, very good.
No, but my point is that to me those feel like lateral moves. But I get that, like, from Notre Dame, which is an elite blue blood, some people may think that there's a little bit more of an opportunity to get some players that you can't get at Notre Dame. And then I don't know if that's a factor at SC versus Oklahoma. I'm not sure what the money issues are. Oklahoma's a blue blood, just like USC is. So I'm not saying that Lincoln Riley's not a good coach. I embrace it because, and I'll give you an example again, when I first got to UCLA, 2 coaches that were legends came back to our conference. One of them was Bill Walsh at Stanford, and the other one was John Robinson. And those 2 coaches are legends. You know, they've been great NFL coaches. They were great college coaches. And I never lost to him as a starter, 4-0. I want UCLA to embrace this. We're better. This town is better. This conference is better. And I know people on the outside looking, they're like, oh, if SC's good, the whole Pac-12's better. I hate that. If Oregon's going into the national championship, that makes our conference better. If UCLA's doing it, if Arizona State's doing it, if I know that SC's a name, I get it. But if you have really good teams, like if you have really good teams in your conference, then the national perception will change. If it's Washington, I actually think Washington secretly made a great hire.
Please.
Fresno State and that offense is fun, and he's going to be able to get much better talent.
Dude,
he's
going to be able to get much better.
And by the way, I heard that Hayner is in the transfer portal. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think I just heard that. Which means
he's
going
to go back to Seattle?
DeBoer.
Please.
He may be going back.
No.
Please.
Saying, dude, this is crazy. You guys, this is like the NBA offseason. It's insane. We have free agency in college football now.
Yeah,
we have coaches that are basically having, like, they're like gone in the middle of the night and just kind of disappearing to go take what is, by the way, and I'm going to say this now since I'm rambling, college coaches, and again, I'm sorry to all of you that are college coaches that are my friends, and maybe there's a little bit of jealousy here. But holy cow, this salary thing is nuts. Like, I don't care about NIL. I don't care about the transfer portal. I've actually learned that these things are, I get it. I totally get those things.
Wayne, you can afford
coaching
it.
Coaching salaries is it's insane.
Guess what, though? You can afford to drop 10 mil on a coach when you don't have to pay the labor force, man.
That's like, my point.
These athletic departments, not all of them, but the ones that are splashing the cash,
yep.
They've got rainy day funds, man. Significant rainy day funds. COVID didn't affect
these guys.
Though.
Like, this is going to lead to, like, NIL was almost like the people are sitting in a back room going, okay, let's let players have this so we can keep ours.
It's such a fraction of what's actually going down. Like,
I know.
It's such a small fraction. But, yes.
I just think if anything's going to kill the sport, the way that coaching salaries are going, it's one of those things that I don't know how you reel it back in. I really don't. And I'm just telling you, like, it's the divide between how much these coaches are making and what we're talking about with players. It's a lot. I remember when I played, I mean, I think Terry Donahue made in the 400s.
Wow.
Which was a lot of money. He was like the highest paid state employee. That's not even, that's nothing. That's like your lowest paid assistant coach makes that now. I know inflation is a part of this too, but these salaries are crazy.
I saw your boy Daryl Revelle. What's his name? Darren?
No.
Daryl?
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. Dude's a clown. I saw him tweet basically coaches' salaries from like 05.
Yeah.
And Pete Carroll was at the top of that list, and it was like 4.5. Yeah. So in 15 years, we've more than doubled the max salary in coaching, and there's several guys that are in that 10 milli plus range.
Well, and you know, you hear the sayings, and this is so true, where, you know, going back to the days when people were like, I can't believe that these players would quit. I can't believe they'd, and coaches just up and leave now. They're like, but there's more money over there. I mean, I'm not saying that coaches don't care, because I truly believe that they do, but that money is so stupid. It's like ridiculous amounts of money that's so hard to turn down. And we also get to the point when people say they're staying put, that a lot of times they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. I mean, they're just telling you what you want to hear. And then when the right price comes up, they leave. So the disparity between how much money these coaches are making and the players, I just foresee it as being a problem down the road. But it is what it is. It's the world we live in. College football is still great, you guys. Oh, my God. Can I do another? Can we switch gears?
Yes, I will allow it.
You'll allow it? So I want to talk to you guys about something I've talked about all year. The way that people that talk on sports talk radio, the powers that be at ESPN and other media outlets have an impact on us. I often compare this sometimes to politics. If you sit and watch Fox News all day, what those people are saying starts to sink in and you start to believe it. If you're listening to any other station that talks about politics in the news, what you hear over and over and over again sinks in and you start to believe that everything they say is true. The same thing happens in sports. If you hear people tell you enough that Ohio State is so much better than they were at the beginning of the year, and if you look at their schedule, by the way, they played a whole bunch of nonsense after Oregon. They had a lot of games until they played Michigan State. And let's face it, you guys, the Michigan State game was a matchup nightmare for Michigan State. They're not good against the pass, so that didn't work. And they finally got to a team in Michigan, and you guys, I'm pissed off. Because I have been on Michigan all year long. I've loved the way Michigan plays. I stick up for Jim Harbaugh because I think he's a much better coach than people give him credit for. I love the fact that Cade McNamara is a perfect marriage for Jim Harbaugh, and I think he's the right type of quarterback, and he's having a great year.
Who'd you pick last week? Who'd you pick last week, Wayne?
You guys, pay attention to me right now. I'm trying to make the point that I heard people tell me how great Ohio State, I'm embarrassed to admit this, I heard people tell me how good Ohio State was so much that it got into my freaking brain and I sat here with you both listening and I sold my soul. I gave up Michigan and I said, you know what? All these people I'm watching, all these people I'm listening to, I mean, they look really good. And I let my weak freaking mind give in and I picked Ohio State.
And how does that make you feel, Wayne?
It makes me feel freaking pathetic. And the reason why I bring this up, you guys, is because this happens. And I'm telling you guys, I know this happens. I talk about it all the time, and yet it still happened to me. And so the idea that you think that people on the committee don't have this ability to allow some of this stuff that they hear over and over and over again trickle into their brains? You guys are insane.
Rat poison.
I'm sorry, but I'm over the whole SEC crap. Everybody's like, oh, almost our whole freaking conference is going to the bowl game. I'm like, yeah, it's 6-6 or 7-5. You've got two really good teams. And one of those teams struggled to barely squeak by a 6-loss Auburn team. Or they barely struggled to squeak by a Florida team that's lost a lot of games. Some of these mighty SEC teams lost, like Texas A&M lost to LSU. You know who whooped their butts? UCLA did.
Oh, boy.
We allow people to tell us stuff enough that we just start to believe it. I'm telling you guys, I'm going to keep going because this is the
He's
part where
fire.
You guys are probably going to lose your minds here.
Go on. Yeah, go on. Melt my face.
Because I started breaking down UCLA's record at 8-4. They had as good a November as anybody. I know the opponents they played weren't that great, but so what? That happens to a lot of people. And I'm going to compare them to two 8-4 teams in the top 25. Okay? Arkansas and Texas A&M. Stop there. Stop right there. You're comparing two teams from the mighty SEC. You can't do this. Well, guess what? Texas A&M lost to LSU, okay? They lost. Their combined losses for all the four losses they have is 16. UCLA's combined, Leslie, with a three-loss team, a four-loss team, and a two-loss team. And they beat LSU, common opponent. Now, Arkansas has a little bit better argument because two of their games was against Georgia and Bama. But they lost to Auburn, who has six losses. And they went to overtime against LSU. The only reason why I'm bringing this up is because when you look at stuff like that and you decide that Arkansas and Texas A&M get to be in the top 25, and another team, and by the way, there's more 8-4 teams that I could argue for too, with all those things I just explained, why? How do you get to decide that? I also heard, I'm going to keep going on this tirade because this matters to me. I also heard in watching ESPN and the playoff special where they pick, people were talking about, well, what if Baylor wins their conference? Do they have a chance if chaos happens in front of them? Why didn't anybody mention Oregon? Why didn't they? Well, because Oregon plays in the Pac-12. Oregon had a bad loss, didn't they? Oregon lost to, who did Oregon lose to? Oregon lost to Stanford.
Yes.
Guess who Baylor lost to? TCU.
Yeah.
Both had crappy years.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that the powers that be have decided that Baylor could maybe get in if a bunch of teams in front of them lost with a championship, but they're not talking about what if Oregon beats Utah? I just, to me, this idea that people are picking and choosing in a room who they think would win a playoff game, that it's just, it blows my mind. And they play favorites. And there's so many more examples of what I'm talking about,
Wayne.
But it's nuts. And by the way, you guys know that going forward, it's going to get, I have a whole thing on Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State lost one game by 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After playing, and I want you to hear this, after playing at Boise, Kansas State, Baylor, at Texas, then they lost by 3 at Iowa State. And you're telling me that somehow magically Alabama just, we like Alabama, so we're going to put them at 3. And Oklahoma State, sorry.
Oklahoma State's at 5. Where do you want them, buddy? Where do you want them?
Yeah, but why are the one-loss teams? Think about this. Why is it that we get to decide that Alabama's loss to who? Texas A&M, who I just pointed out,
yes,
has 4 losses. And I know Iowa State's lost a lot too, but what I was trying to point out is Iowa State's had a great year. And they lost a game at the end of a very hard 5-game stretch. Who decides that Alabama's better than Oklahoma State? How do you get to make that? Or even Notre Dame for that matter. And I know you're going to say, well, it's their schedules. But why is it that we always pick the SEC team to go ahead?
Better
Alabama
players.
Has struggled.
Better players in most cases, Wayne. Better players.
Yeah, but again, you guys, how often, what's your record in picking games, Steven?
That's not the point, man. Let's
You're
stay
an
on
expert.
Task here. No, I'm not an expert.
You're an expert.
No,
you
not.
Follow the game on a regular basis.
Does not make me an
so
expert.
So my point is, if we're going to pick 4 teams, and you know where I'm going with this, there's got to be something in place where it's not just people deciding that most people thought Alabama was going to beat Auburn by more, correct?
Yeah, they were a 20-point favorite.
They had to go 99 yards or whatever it was just to get it to overtime.
Hey, man, Iron Bowl. Okay. You throw that stuff out the window for the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, but this is a 5-loss Auburn team. You can't make excuses for people and then say, well, Cincinnati, I know they're 12-0, but they've had some shaky games where they didn't blow people
hang
out.
Hang on a second.
So is Alabama.
Wayne, hang on a second. Let's drill down on this, man. What do you want? Like, are you unhappy with the committee?
I want a stinking playoff.
You want more teams in? Like, what do we want?
Steven, how do you decide between Alabama, Oklahoma State, and Notre Dame right now? And even Michigan, for that matter. Michigan lost to Michigan State.
Well, hang on a second. Three of those teams have to play on Saturday.
Yeah, I understand that. But right now, how do you decide? Notre Dame doesn't get a game, so that's going to hurt them.
Resume, strength, at this point, body of work. What have you done for 12 games?
$1 billion industry.
That's where we are, buddy.
To be decided on 13 people sitting in a room when we could expand the playoff and say, guess what, Alabama?
Wayne,
if you want in, and this is, by the way, the scenario.
It's going to
expand.
But
what if Alabama does beat Georgia?
It's going to happen. What happens
if
Alabama
beats Georgia?
And then Georgia
and Alabama are both going to get in,
correct? Guess what? They're both going, baby. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, but that's my point. In Oklahoma State, what if they win and they're sitting there at 11-1, Cincinnati's undefeated, Georgia has one loss, Alabama has one loss, and then Michigan beats Iowa State. And you're Oklahoma State sitting there with a championship going, really?
Wayne, what's ironic to me here is that you think that this all is supposed to be fair. It's never been fair.
But it can be.
Yeah, and it will be.
But it can be.
They're going to expand this thing, buddy. Listen, you need to start watching these playoff shows on mute. I'm telling you right now, nothing good is coming from you listening to Joey Galloway talk about these rankings, bro. I'm telling you, you need to put the remote down. Put it down.
It can be. I mean, even all of this, I mean, really, it's just so crazy to me that we can have a system where we actually think that if Iowa, this is going to drive you crazy right now because I know this drives you crazy. If Iowa beats Michigan,
let's go
to the playoffs.
Who?
If I'm being serious.
If Iowa wins?
If you listen to me, I'm not talking about this year.
This is the Wayne's World 16 team playoff.
I'm talking about a future system where actual games matter.
Got it.
And championships matter.
Yeah.
Utah, I'm sorry, but I'm willing to bet you money that Utah could beat at least 10 teams in front of them on this list. They're down at 17, which makes me wonder if people are watching them play. Utah is good right now. I'm not saying that Oregon doesn't have a chance to beat them because I think Oregon at a neutral site has a better chance. But my point is that if we actually let champions go, how much more fun would this weekend coming up be?
Yes.
All of these teams playing would have a chance. Utah would have a chance to get in with 3 losses.
I don't disagree with
that. Iowa would have a chance
to
get in.
I don't disagree with that. I don't. You'd be talking about teams in the rankings right now at like 15, 16, 17. They would be alive, like literally would be alive. They'd have a pulse. Right now, the only teams that really have a pulse, you draw the line at probably Baylor at 9, Oregon at 10, and there has to be some really wild stuff that happens.
Everybody's going to have to lose for that to happen.
Yeah, correct.
But here's where I want you to answer the question, and Cerber, you can chime in too. If we have a Michigan team with one loss, a Georgia team with one loss, an Alabama team with one loss, a Cincinnati team with no losses, so we'll just put them in this scenario. And then, although they could lose too, let's do that. Let's make them all lose. No one's undefeated. We have Georgia loss, Michigan loss, Alabama loss, Cincinnati has a loss, and Oklahoma State has a loss, and Notre Dame has a loss. How do you pick 4 teams out of that?
Well, Georgia's in, regardless of what happens on
Saturday. You would knock Cincinnati out. So let's just say Cincinnati stayed undefeated. They're going to beat Houston.
Okay,
so they stay undefeated. But if Georgia with one loss stays in,
yep,
because they lost to the number 3 team.
Yep.
Okay, so you have Georgia 11-1, Michigan 11-12, I guess it would be one more win. But they have one loss. You're going to leave a team out that's deserving of a playoff. And I don't understand how we just decide, because in my scenario, now you have Alabama that beat Georgia. But remember, Alabama did struggle with some other wins. And in this current system, struggling to win against average teams should matter, because they tell us it does all the time. They say it matters. So as long as people are saying it matters, then it has to matter for everybody equally. It can't be this word I bring up all the time. Human beings have bias. Human beings, believe it or not, even though they think that the media and the noise don't impact them, my example with Ohio State, and I know some listeners out there agree with me, you hear it so much that you start to believe it. You start to believe it, but after they lose, and they lose the way they lost, then you go back to the Oregon game where Oregon beat them, and you say, yeah, I kind of get it. When you get pushed around up front and you get beat up by a physical team, maybe that's Ohio State's weakness. So it's just, it's crazy to me that we're leaving this up to people to pick between a couple of teams that play very unsimilar schedules, and we're trying to decide which one deserves to go and which one doesn't. I just think it's so stupid. I would rather go back to the BCS or just the bowl games. I think that was better.
You thought that was more fair when a group of writers over here thought someone else would be number one?
I thought it meant, like, the BCS was different, but I thought bowl games still mattered. Like, if you went to a Rose Bowl, it was a big deal. If you went to a Sugar Bowl or Cotton Bowl, if you got to go to one of these big, the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay.
If you went to a big bowl game.
Okay. Okay, listen.
I'm going to
hit pause on this argument because I want you to zoom out for just a second. I want to bring this back around to what I was talking about before you hijacked the show.
An hour ago.
Which was coaching. Brian Kelly is walking away from a team that has a shot at the college football playoff.
It's crazy.
He is walking away from Notre Dame. We're not talking about walking away from Cincinnati, which he did before. We're talking about walking away from the Golden Domers. Notre Dame, sitting at 6 in the CFP with no game on Saturday and the potential for chaos. He's walking away from that game. So listen, I hear you. I know how it used to be. Bowl games used to be important. It ain't important anymore. It's not important to players. It's not important to coaches. And it's not just not important to, like, some coaches. It's not important to the elite of the elite. I'm not saying this is the case across the board, but I'm saying this Brian Kelly situation, this is banana land. This isn't a Notre Dame team that's 8-4, man. These guys are 11-1. Like, there is a legitimate chance if Cincinnati were to lose to Houston, if Michigan were to lose to Iowa, there's a legitimate chance Notre Dame could backdoor their way into the four spot.
Yep.
And Brian Kelly's walking away for Louisiana State. It's crazy, man. Like, I'm just telling, like, you touched on it earlier with the coaching salaries. It ain't just the money. I mean, it's the Lincoln Riley situation is all about quality of life. Yeah. That guy's tired of people coming up to him in Norman when he's grocery shopping or when he's at the gas station and asking him about play calls in the third quarter. He wants to go to L.A. He wants to be anonymous. And guess what? That's a good place to do that. No disrespect to L.A., but you know what I'm saying, man? Like,
I do.
He's going to be able to walk around. Him and his family are going to have a quality of life where he doesn't have to live in a fishbowl. Good for him. Oh, and by the way, he's going to be very well paid.
Right.
Very well paid.
So here's a couple thoughts. One, the way the system works, it feels like we've set it up to where coaches almost have to make these decisions at awkward times. It seems like we deal with this every year where a coach kind of walks out on their team before the bowl game. And I agree with you.
You got early signing day in 2 weeks,
yeah,
bro.
I know. It's
crazy. Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. So for me, the only thing I can think of, and I've used Brian Kelly as an example of probably, like, Brian Kelly and now, especially with this year, Jim Harbaugh, are examples of winning a lot of games at academic schools. And I'm sorry if I'm insulting anybody, but I promise you, I promise you big time that Brian Kelly will be able to recruit players that he wouldn't even try for at Notre Dame. I guarantee it. He will go after athletes that he wouldn't even attempt to go after. When you're at an academic school, there are certain players that if you don't come close to qualifying academically, they scratch you off the list. I'm sure there's a few opportunities, exceptions, where you can get like a special exemption for certain players. But I'm not saying that there's not really good smart athletes out there, but there are certain schools that pretty much, if you meet the minimum requirements, you're going to get in. And there are other schools that aren't like that. And so when you look at what Michigan's done, especially this year, but even in the past, winning, you know, it seems like 9-10 games almost every year, even though they weren't beating Ohio State, still a very good program and a very good academic school. And Notre Dame is also an elite academic school. And Brian Kelly has really turned it around. Last 4 or 5 years, they've been very, very good.
Yes.
Now, here's the deal, though. He was probably going to keep, even if he makes the playoffs, probably going to keep losing and have a hard time competing with the Alabamas, the good LSU teams, these teams that have that next level athlete, the Georgias of the world. So I think if you're Brian Kelly, you're like, listen, I'm in that last part of my career. I can probably have a better chance at a national championship if I go to LSU. And we all know, I think it's the last three coaches at LSU have won national championships. Is that true?
Well, in reverse chronological order, you've got
Saban to Les Miles.
Coach O, Les Miles, and Saban.
Saban, right?
Yeah.
So it's been done, right? Doesn't mean they're not going to have some bad years in there, but they can win and get that kind of talent. So I don't know. I think once the dust settles, this looks terrible. I've read so many bad articles about Coach Kelly, about how he texted everybody and then he had like a 2-minute meeting the next morning, which, by the way, I don't know how much of that's true.
How are you supposed how are you supposed to handle that, man?
No, I know. I agree.
There's no right way to do that. When you're leaving, you got to go. Yeah. You can't linger. You got to go.
It's going to be uncomfortable for everybody. And I think at the end of the day, I think Brian Kelly ends up being like the winningest coach in Notre Dame history, right? So I think you look back on his era and you probably appreciate him. It's going to be really hard to replace him. So it'll be interesting what they do. I mean, let's face it. There's a couple of jobs now that are open in Oklahoma and in Notre Dame. Wow. What's going to happen next?
Server,
I mean, there's a lot of names on those lists.
Server, you've been quiet, man. I thought your boy Venables was going to Norman. Did I get faked out by the internet? Was that a fake? Was that incorrect?
You know, it's tough to tell, right? Like, obviously, the Bleacher Report account that tweeted about it, that's fake. Obviously, the Barstool Oklahoma account that's, like, tweeting the screen grab of someone's Snapchat, it's like, that's probably not super reliable. He was in Kansas with Dabo recruiting a linebacker. I mean, Oklahoma's out in that part of the country. At the same time, so I think it makes, like, sense if he was to go to Oklahoma. But at the same time, let's remember Brent Venables was forced out of Oklahoma. It was kind of unceremonious how he left to take the Clemson job. He was the DC at Oklahoma, and he chose to come to Clemson. Pre-national, this is like just got beat 70-33 by West Virginia in the Orange Bowl, Clemson. So, I mean, sure, he's definitely a candidate for that job. He's also been very picky, like Kansas State was open, and he was a candidate. We don't know how seriously high he was on the list, but he was a candidate, and he didn't take that job. So I'll believe Venables is going to go be a head coach when he becomes a head coach. Oklahoma seems like a good landing spot, but nothing's a sure thing with that guy from what you can tell in past years. Should have been gobbled up by now, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, Wayne. Like, when you look at the movement, right, and obviously right. Lincoln to USC got Brian Kelly to yep. Baton Rouge. Like, one of those is a slam dunk, can't miss. Okay, and it's Lincoln Riley to USC because of where he's going in the Pac-12. Yeah. I mean, no disrespect.
Just remember, though, it is a rebuild.
Okay,
it's
fine.
It's a rebuild
in a college, in a high school football factory.
Yeah.
He's going to dominate recruiting west of the Rockies anytime he wants to. I'm not putting down your alma mater, okay? I'm not. This is not a shot at UCLA. This is just the fact that, like, Lincoln Riley is 38 years old. The dude is he's a prodigy. I mean, like, I'm not. What are we talking about? Two Heisman Trophy winners?
He'll bring back two number one overall
picks?
What he needs to do, though, and I don't want to give him any advice. And by the way, you're making me want to go punch the wall right now. I'm starting to get mad. I want to go play football against somebody. But the idea that I agree that he's a very good coach. I do think it's a little bit more different than inheriting a loaded team as opposed to rebuilding, so I think it may take a little while. I do think they need to reestablish themselves as a team that can run the ball, because I even think that the better Oklahoma teams could run the ball. So I think that's important. And defense is going to matter. And if you saw it, he's bringing some coaches with him that I think are now at already in Southern California. So, yes, they've done a great job. Some of the other names, though, by the way, that it's interesting that they've been mentioned a lot is Kalani Sitake at BYU. They're sitting at number 12 right now. I know they struggled a little bit to beat a USC team that UCLA destroyed, but they're sitting there. I think Mario Cristobal's name keeps coming up, although I'm not sure. You know, it's funny when players want to leave big program. I mean, coaches leave big programs for other big programs. There's a lot of money at Oregon, so that's interesting. How about Lane Kiffin? I mean, winning 10 games at Ole Miss is a big deal. Okay, I mean, so now that a couple of other jobs have opened up, it's just interesting to me. Everybody's going to keep throwing out these big names, but I don't know, man. I think a lot of teams are making good hires, and I'll say this one last thing because we were talking about Brian Kelly. Sometimes when you're at a place for too long, your voice gets kind of stale, and a change of scenery for a coach and for players sometimes is good. So if you're the Irish right now, you still have a pretty darn good team. The sky doesn't have to be falling. I know that they may hire from within. That's one rumor going on. But even if they go out and get someone else, it's not like there's not talent. And this isn't a program that's been winning a lot. You just have to make the decision pretty quick before too many people get in the transfer portal and want to take off. That's another problem with hiring right now. You got to get these decisions made quickly so your new coach can intercept people before they leave.
Sure. I mean, now the talk will be like, who's going to go to South Bend? Like, who's going to fill that void? You know, best job in college football, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it is, but I think Luke Fickell's the obvious choice. They may not go the obvious path. But listen, Oklahoma, given what that program's going to be doing in the next, what, 2, 3, 4 years, which is going to the SEC and likely the SEC West, I don't fault Lincoln Riley.
Do you think Lincoln's sitting there going, really?
No, I think Lincoln Riley's like, I don't want that, man. Like, I want to coach. And now, Lincoln Riley, you look at his history. Yeah, he was at ECU for a couple of years as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's coach. But, like, the dude grew up in Texas. He spent just about his entire life in one part of the country. Like, yeah. SEC is manic, man. These people are psychopaths. And I mean that glowingly. Like, I'm one of them. But it's... And do you want that? Like, do you want that for your family? Do you want that for just for your overall quality of life, man? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a great job. Oklahoma's a revered program. Like, name a bad coach at Oklahoma in their history. You can't.
Right. Well, if you think about it, Stephen, that Lincoln Riley pretty much was winning every year at Oklahoma. I mean, they won the Big 12 almost every year. This year wasn't going to be one of them, but the odds are that they would come back and probably win it, you know, next year and the year after. I mean, they just win it all the time. I think the thought might be that that wouldn't be the case in the SEC West. Because to be honest with you, you know, LSU, Auburn, you know, Texas A&M, Alabama. I mean, it's loaded, right?
It's murderer's row, man. Yeah, it's the opposite of what you're doing in the Big 12.
Well, then you go to a USC, and I think the idea is that if you can get that place rolling, and let's just say they produce similar talent than what they had at Oklahoma and run same scheme and kind of play that way, I don't think, because this is just my opinion, I don't think the Oklahoma teams with limited defense would have just rolled right through the Pac-12. I think they're going to find that a lot of these going to Utah, going on the road to play Oregon, Washington, Washington State, Stanford stinks right now, but when they were good, I mean, there's a lot of places where you can step up, and I think he's going to realize playing nine, and I know they did this in the Big 12 too, but playing 9 conference games in a conference like the Pac-12 is not, trust me, there's a reason why we end up having teams with 1 or 2 losses that win the conference almost every year. It's just really hard to get through that slate, even if you're a good team. But one of the last teams to do it when Pete Carroll had his run, they were pretty dominant in the with that. So we'll see what happens. I get his move too, by the way. I totally get it because he wouldn't have had the success he had at Oklahoma playing in the SEC. He just wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's going to be a tough transition for any program, even the blue blood that is Oklahoma. Don't get me started on Texas, man. They got their own issues.
Can I ask you a question, Stephen?
Of course, anytime, buddy.
So, Oklahoma and Texas, is there any buyer's remorse?
If you're the SEC?
No. Well, I guess they're both buyers. But for those two programs to take the money and join a conference where, let's be honest, Texas hasn't won the Big 12 in a long time.
Right.
To go into that conference and to play in that conference, yeah, they're getting more money, but what might it do? Is there some arrogance that they're just going to be able to rise up and compete with Georgia and Auburn and LSU? And by the way, I'm only naming like four teams because I think the other
right.
half.
Right, we know you think that, you know, the Vanderbilts
and
the South Carolinas of the world. Yeah, listen.
I think it's really good at the top four or five, but below that, it's just like everybody else. So I still think they're the best conference. I'm not trying to be that person that doesn't think that, because I do. They're always there. They've proved it over and over and over again. But for Texas and Oklahoma,
yeah,
I just think in the long run, and I could be proved wrong 10 years from now, I think they made a mistake.
Well, they've definitely made their path to a college football playoff harder. That being said, the college football playoff, that net is about to get wider, okay?
It is.
So now, the thing with Texas and Oklahoma is they looked around at a Big 12 and the landscape of college football and the TV rights agreements, and this is about financial stability and security for the next 15, 20 years. I think that's what it boils down to. It's a safe place. Is it a is it filled with landmines? Yeah, man. Like 9-3 is a heck of a year. And it's 9-3. Like, good luck trying to sell that to Oklahoma fans who are used to going 11-1 every single year. So I think you're not wrong. I don't think the SEC has any remorse at all. I think if you were to ask Commissioner Sankey, and I will bring this up to him when I see him on Saturday, Wayne, in some form or fashion. But I think it's
good for the SEC.
It is.
I think for those two schools, I think in the future it may become problematic. The SEC gets two name brands. And to be honest with you, nobody really wants to talk about Vanderbilt unless it's baseball. No one really wants to talk about, you know, some of the lower tier, like Missouri. Yay. You know, look what happened to Missouri when they joined the conference. How's that working out?
Well, they have been to two SEC championships. They won the East twice. But yes,
yeah,
I understand.
You're right away though, correct?
You're not wrong. Listen, you're not wrong, Wayne.
Yeah.
Look, this is all part of a larger issue, and I think some of your, I don't want to call them complaints, but observations about, you know, the billion-dollar industry. It's the multi-billion-dollar industry that is college football and the CFP. The fact that ESPN has their hand in all of this, the fact that ESPN is, you know, steering the ship, some might say, on the SEC and their appetite for expansion, right? Like, ESPN/Disney is going to be the exclusive rights holder for SEC football after the CBS deal is expired, after it comes up.
Right.
Like, you got CBS carrying those Saturday 3:30 games for, I think, two more years after this. And then they're done. They exit stage right, and it's all Disney. It's all ESPN.
Just out of it. Are they going to?
They're done.
I mean, because I'm going to miss that song.
Yeah. Well, that song's going to be playing for those Mountain West games, bro. I mean, that, like, you know, when you want to get, you know, Fresno and Nevada on CBS Sports Network, there you go. But, yeah, I mean, CBS is...
Fresno and Nevada is a top-notch game.
I mean, Serber already took some shots at... What's my guy's name? What is he like? He's like Dutch.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He's from the Netherlands, isn't he? Kalen DeBoer?
Kalen
DeBoer, I'm telling you.
12-6 at Fresno State.
He's a speed skater, right? He's a Dutch speed skater? Did I have that right? He's a Winter Olympian.
All I know is that it kind of going to bring back a little bit what they lost with Chris Peterson, a little creativity, a little bit better offense.
The offense can't be worse, Wayne. Washington's
terrible.
Has been abysmal for the last three, four seasons.
It was terrible. And so I'm just telling you, people I know at Fresno State are really bummed that he's gone because I think he was a heck of a coach. And I actually heard, I don't know if someone told me this, that Jeff Tedford was kind of like involved in that process of kind of – he's a pretty good coach out here out west for a while, too.
Well, I don't know if Washington is the sleeping giant that USC is, but it's still a hell of a program when it's rolling, right?
Yep,
and it hasn't been rolling since Chris Peterson left. So, yeah, look, I'm excited for that. I think the Jake Dickert hire at Washington State was a good one. Washington State has been way too interesting the last couple of years with Mike Leach and then the circus that was Rolo. Like, they need to get back to just being a blue collar football team and not have their coach being a clown. So
well, and they weren't going to go out and get one of these big names anyway. So you have a coach that's been there, that's paid his dues, that's winning games, and the team seems to respond. Why not? I mean, I think sometimes and I know that some of the retreads that we're talking about are elite coaches, and I get that. But that's why I like the Washington hire. I think sometimes you go a little bit outside of the box. There's really good coaches. Like, not everybody always knew about Lincoln Riley, or before Chip Kelly was doing his thing at Oregon, people didn't know. And all of a sudden, these people burst onto the scene as these huge, bigger-than-life coaches. Well, they had to come from somewhere. I love the idea that, you know, we hire a Ryan Day, and he goes from being a really good assistant to being one of the top head coaches around. You know, I like the idea. Sometimes when you hire from within, the next person to take the job, you know, has some things where they've watched the system be run really, really well, but they tweak a few things and they make it a little bit better. I think that's really cool. Now, sometimes, like with Jimmy Lake, it went the opposite way, right? When you replace Chris Peterson, you bring in Jimmy Lake, you hire from within, it didn't work. But some of the other coaches that we talked about, like Ryan Day, like back in the day, Chip Kelly at Oregon, like there's so many coaches that fit, like Lincoln Riley. Hired from within. These coaches take on already a really good program and they kind of tweak it a little bit and take it to the next level. So that can work. And I'm forgetting the coach's name right now at Notre Dame. That's kind of a hot. Is it Freeman?
You're talking about the defensive coordinator.
Yes.
Yeah. He was with Fickell at Cincinnati.
Exactly.
And now he's at Marcus Freeman. Yeah.
Marcus Freeman. So, I mean, the idea that you could maybe hire from within.
Sure.
Is an interesting thought. So I just gave you examples of how that may work sometimes and how it may not work sometimes.
Yeah. No, I think it's fascinating that the coaching carousel thing is, we did a show on Monday with Roddy that normally we drop on Tuesday morning, but because we were talking so much coaching stuff, I told Cerber, I was like, bro, just drop it now. Cause this is all going to change. And sure enough, Monday night, what happens? Brian Kelly leaves South Bend to go to Baton Rouge. So, it's crazy, man, but look, college football is a very different sport, Wayne, than the one you grew up, not just loving, but also playing in and rooting for, and quite frankly, the one that I grew up and kind of fell in love with. Late 90s, early 2000s, that feels like ages ago, man, and it wasn't, but the modern game is accelerating, and the money and the TV stuff, and we haven't even gotten to, and I do want to bring this back to like Championship Saturday. I want to talk about these games. I want to run through this, but like we haven't even gotten to a place where, you know, the Saturday night primetime game is presented by Amazon Prime and is only available for like streaming devices.
Right.
Not on a channel. Like we're getting there. We're going to get to a place where that's happening. And that's going to be really weird because me and Cerber are going to be old guys and we're not going to know how to do that. Like we're going to need our kids to help us with
it. You already do it. You got Amazon Prime, don't you?
I do have Amazon Prime. And I'll be honest, this time of the year, it really – now, Felder has figured this out. He's got like two separate Prime accounts. But like if I want to order my wife something for the holidays, I can't do it on Amazon Prime.
Because it's the same account, correct?
Because she'll be like, oh –
yeah.
This has been ordered. It just got delivered. You know what I mean? I got to figure out a workaround for that, and I haven't yet because I'm lazy.
I'm sure they'll come up with the husband Amazon Prime Pass or something like that where you got to just have your own little secret account.
I think it exists, and I'm just too lazy and dumb to have figured out how to unlock it.
You just have to create a different account. I mean, it really does exist. So here's what's crazy here. So as we're getting in this, and you talked about this, it made me think. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I watch, you think I do nothing but watch football, and you think I'm also an NFL like person. Less and less. I still think college football is the best game. I will watch an NFL game and kind of like the Seattle game last night. I watched it for a little bit, then changed the channel and watched something else and came back to see who was winning and then changed. So I'm not like when I'm watching, I don't know about you, but on the West Coast, one of the coolest things about the West Coast is we get 9 o'clock football kickoff. So I wake up early, I get my coffee, I watch College Game Day. UCLA wasn't playing until 7:30 at night, so I had all morning. And I was ready for the Ohio State-Michigan game. And it did not disappoint. We had the snow. We had the weather. We had all the, it was just Big Ten football. And it was so fun to watch. And even though I know I picked Ohio State because I gave in to, and I'm a wimp, I was so happy for Michigan. I was so happy for the players. I was so happy for the way they played. I just think those are great moments in sports. And so, yes, the game has changed. Yes, the money's different. Yes, NIL, coaching salaries. Yes, the transfer portal. But at the end of the day, the game is very similar. And when you watch this, how much these people care. I know that, and you've convinced me over the years, you're right. Most college athletes, if they're playing in a lower tier bowl, they don't care that much. But I will tell you this, like I hosted the UCLA Sports Banquet over the weekend, and I guarantee you that at 8-4, UCLA's got a good chance to play a good ACC team in the Holiday Bowl or a good Big Ten team in the Vegas Bowl. I think those are probably the two most likely bowls. So they may play at NC State. They may play a Pitt. They may play a Penn State in the other bowl. They may play, you know what I mean? They may get a matchup against a program that is good. And I look forward to those games. I didn't always look forward to the 6-6 bowl games against teams that you're like, really, it doesn't do, if we win, great, but no one cares. But if we lose, everybody's like hammering us because we just lost a crappy game. I've been yearning for a big, good matchup. And I think that some programs are so spoiled that even playing in a New Year's Six bowl, because you didn't get into the playoff, it almost feels like a disappointment. And that's why I think that the playoff system, whether it be 12 teams or whatever they come up with, I almost want to see these other bowl games almost be like billed almost like they are. They're like a consolation prize, or if they want to still have them, then we'll accept the fact that players don't want to play or they opt out or whatever. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But you want to make it to where, I think I've told you guys this before, when I was in school, we only had 16 bowl games. Now there's like 40-something.
Yeah.
So the idea that making a bowl game or making the playoffs really matters, winning a conference championship really matters, I think it might get us back to kind of that feeling of, because like really, to be honest with you now, if you've lost two or three games and you're playing in a weaker division in your conference, even if you win your conference championship, it's like, yeah, oh, well, we don't get to go to the playoffs. I just think that's sad and unhealthy. And I've even heard people act like, well, they don't deserve it. What do we want to give them, a participation trophy? They just won the Big Ten. But they have two losses or whatever. So what? That's an amazing accomplishment. And I just feel like maybe we've kind of gone all the way down this road of having a 14 playoff. Now if we can expand and really include champions – and then we can argue about who the other teams are that get in. I just think it's exactly what college football needs. Yes, things have changed, but it's still the best sport on the planet.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Do you want to talk about these games that we're going to see on Friday and Saturday?
Yep.
Let's jump in because, you know, again, no Phil Steele. He's taking the week off. Phil, hope all is well. But we'll touch base with him for the bowl season. Is this the first year the Pac-12 is doing the Vegas thing? Last year was such a blur. Just help me.
Yes.
Okay, so this is at the Raiders place, Oregon, yes. Utah rematch Friday night. I still think they got to find a way to not play this thing on Friday night, but I'm glad it's in Vegas and not at that sketchy place that's not really in San Francisco or Santa Clara. Yeah, it's just kind of hanging out over by the airport. So let's start here. Oregon, Utah. Who you got, Wayne? Like, I mean, Utah just beat the life out of these guys a couple weeks ago.
So knowing what we know about Utah, and that was a home game. There's altitude. They have a great student section, one of the best student sections in the entire country. They are just really, really, they're just good. So Utah in a neutral site, though, Oregon's not as bad as they were in that game. But right now, ever since the change was made to Cam Rising to play quarterback, ever since they found a running back in Thomas, they still have receivers like Britton Covey, and they have athletes that can do a lot of things on the outside, and they play elite defense. And Devin Lloyd is as good a linebacker as you'll find. This Utah team, I think, is the best team. I do not think they're going to run away with it like they did at Utah. I think it'll be a good game. I think that Oregon bounced back and played a very good game against a good Oregon State team. I still think Utah wins, though. I think Utah is going to be the representative in the Rose Bowl, but I think Oregon's going to make it a very good game.
Wow. So you're going with the Utes, okay?
Yes.
We're going to roll this into our pick'em because I've got that in front of me. So, Wayne, you're going Utah Cerber.
Was that one of the games?
Yeah, we're going to pick like five or six of these.
Oh, right. So you're going to try to make it where I could still lose. You guys, everybody listening knows that I picked some of the games I picked last week because Cerber did. Because Cerber, I thought, was the only person that could catch me. And I changed Oklahoma State because I knew they were going to win. But, you know, the fact that we let you have the Deeks, I mean, come on. I picked Boston College only because Cerber did.
That's fine. Listen, I can't catch you, man. I'm five
you
games
can't.
Behind you in the standings. Cerber is four games back. He went 0-3 last week.
Thank you.
Like, don't be so paranoid, Wayne. Like, we're doing a bowl pick'em too, bro. Like, this doesn't make you the champion of picking games. This just means that, you know, you were
just
like,
always change the rules as we go. That's
less worse than we were. Cerber, Oregon, Utah, Friday night in Vegas. Who you got?
How much did Utah just win this game by?
It was like 35-7 or something.
Utah.
38-7.
Utah.
I'm going with the Ducks here, guys. I'm going with the Ducks. Quack, quack, quack.
It's hard
quack,
to beat the
baby.
Same team twice.
Yeah, I know.
There is a theory behind that. They'll have a better game plan playing on a neutral site. So I think it'll be closer, but I'm with Serbs. I think you're wrong, Steven, but that's okay.
Even if there is chaos, there ain't going to be enough chaos for Oregon to jump into this. There's too many teams ahead of them. But you
By the
know.
Way, though, you got my point earlier about – so I'm listening to the powers that be on ESPN, and I know you get mad at me.
I do get mad at you just because it gets you so triggered, Wayne.
Why would they say that Baylor has a shot and not
– Because Oregon. Baylor's
just,
playing –
bugs me.
Because Baylor has a chance to beat the number five team in the CFP.
Yeah, but if you watch, if you really, really believe the eye test and you watch the games, Utah is better than a three-loss team.
Okay, Wayne, I don't disagree with that logic, but 17-5 aren't close in the rankings. That's all. Just put the piece away, man, okay?
Just put the piece away. Just keep going.
Cerber, you're up first here. High noon, Jerry's World, Baylor, Oklahoma State. The Pokes are favored in this by 5.5. I don't know what's up with Bohannon. I think he's still out for this game if for Baylor, right? Like, he didn't play last week in the win over Texas Tech. I'm not asking for an injury update. It's more of a just me just talking.
Thing.
Yeah, it's just me just talking out loud.
He's vamping. But it's fine. Giving me time. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Once again, this is another rematch, right? Oklahoma State won the first time. That was a pretty good game, though.
Yep.
I watched a lot of that game. I think the Bears get it done this time.
Wow.
And I think they keep Oklahoma State out of the college football playoff. I don't think they get in themselves, but no. I think they definitely eliminate Oklahoma State from contention and win the Big 12 championship.
Sick 'em.
What a pick.
Wayne?
I love the Oklahoma State defense. I just think this team is for real. They're sitting there with one loss, and yes, they definitely have a chance to get in, so they're going to be extra hyped for this game. I think Oklahoma State wins.
You're going
I
with
think
the
it'll
Pokes,
be a good
huh?
game, though.
Okay, I'm going to ride with you, Wayne. I like Oklahoma State as well. I do. Although, Dave Aranda, for me, if I'm handing out, I mean, they'll probably give it to Fickell just because, but I think Dave Aranda, Coach of the Year, or at least –
Did Dave Aranda resign? Who's resigned? Did he say he's staying?
he has not inked an agreement.
Because that's a coach that a lot of people are thinking about.
Yes. Correct. Now, I think people were thinking about him for LSU or
right.
SC, and now right. those have both been filled.
Yep.
But, yeah, Dave Aranda is expected to sign an extension, but it has not yet been signed.
Okay.
So there you go. There's your latest on Dave Aranda. Okay. You guys want to pick a Mountain West game? Do you want to go Utah State, San Diego State, or do you want to head straight to the big boys? No disrespect to the Mountain West. It's up to you guys. I don't care. I could do this all day.
Hey, by the way, Brady Hoke, what he's done at San Diego State, they have had a great year.
11-1.
With a really good defense and a limited offense.
They got the best punter. Have you watched this punter kid?
Dude, he's insane.
Server, have you seen this guy?
People don't like to watch punters, but wow.
Server, have you seen this guy?
I have not seen said punter.
No. Okay, he's a lefty. He kicks left-footed.
Neat.
And he no. This guy he's got a cannon for a leg. It's, Matt Araiza? Araiza?
Yeah. He's so good.
This Cerber, this dude's kicking like 85-yard punts. Like somebody's going to draft him.
Oh yeah.
Like in day 2. This dude's going to go in the 4th round. He's a monster.
Yep.
Like, think about this. Like, if you're an NFL team, you know what I mean? Field position's everything in the NFL. Like, this dude can flip fields. He's punting out of his end zone and, like, pinning teams inside the 20. Anyway.
It's perfect for San Diego State, too, because they're a defense-dominated team.
Yeah, it's boring-ass football. But this guy can punt. this guy can kick. All right, we're not going to pick the Mountain West. We are going to pick the Sun Belt, though. Because this is a league. I mean, this is a league.
Of course, you go straight away from the West and just go straight in. Yeah, I got you.
Do you want to pick the Mountain West? I mean, San Diego State and Utah State, that's not going to be competitive.
I'm good.
Aztecs are going to smoke those guys.
All right.
Let's go to Cajun Field. Louisiana and App State. They play during the regular season. Louisiana beat the life out of these guys. And guess what? They're going to do it again. Give me the Cajuns. On their home field, even though they're an underdog, Billy Napier is coaching. He is coaching this game.
By the way, another pretty darn good hire that maybe not enough people are talking about.
Boy, I hope so, man, because I think Florida, who is now on their 4th coach in 8 years, they need to figure it out. If you keep flipping coaches, this isn't going to be good for your program, and Florida's at that point.
And you guys know this. Some of these programs that were elite in the past, they still think they can live off their name.
Yeah.
And I swear, you've got to model, like, some of these elite programs are doing things different. Nick Saban's not doing stuff the same way he did it back in the early days of his coaching career. He evolves and he changes with the times. He went from being a coach that had great defenses and ran the ball and controlled the clock to being a program that could score as many points as anybody. So the idea that you have to evolve and grow, it's not just what you're doing as a coach, but it's your facilities. It's not just the head coaching salaries, but what you're willing to pay your assistants. There's just so many factors that go in to it's your recruiting system. Do you have, you know, private jets and helicopters? And I'm not saying that Florida doesn't have these things, but the idea that you can't just live off being Miami or Florida State or Florida or USC or, hey, Tennessee or Nebraska, you have to kind of like jumpstart. You can't just say, hey, we were great back in the last century. Well, you've got to modernize the way you're doing things, and I think that some of these schools in Florida is one of them. But it starts with a good hire. You get a coach that wants to recruit and can do a great job. I know that Mullen, that was the biggest knock on him, that he didn't recruit. But he was a great hire when they hired him, remember?
App State, Louisiana, Wayne. Quit stalling. Who you got?
I'm with you.
You're going Cajuns.
Louisiana. Yep.
Serbs.
Nears.
I was about to say, man, your wife went to App State. Don't disrespect the Appers here. They are road favorites, by the way. App State is favored by 3.
I believe in UNC Boone. Give me App.
Okay. Love it. A way to be loyal to your people. I respect the hell out of that. All right, let's go to some big boy football. 4:00 in Atlanta, Georgia, Bama, SEC championship game. Bulldogs 4th appearance in the last 5 years. It's you know who, big bad Bama. Kirby Smart has never beaten Alabama. Something's got to give here. Wayne, have you seen the line on this game? I know you're not Vegas guy. Have you seen the point spread?
6.5.
Yeah, dude. 6.5. Alabama has not been an underdog in a football game in their last, I think it's 93 games. And they're getting 6.5,
you know,
in
what?
This.
I think Georgia covers. I think Georgia's better. I think Alabama is. And again, all you Roll Tide Alabama people, this is not a knock. I just think Alabama's more human. And really what I want you to think about when you hear me say this, they're 11-1, right? This is still a great team. I just think Georgia's special this year. I think what they do on defense, you can knock their quarterback if you want to on offense, but I think he's having a great year and he's doing exactly what they need him to do. So I think Georgia is, I think they're going to win. And I, you know, Alabama, you know, they're going to have to wake up because that was a struggle against Auburn. But I really think, but they won. They found a way to win. That's the only thing that scares me is that Nick Saban finds a way. So I'm a little nervous when I say this, but I've got to go with Georgia.
Serber.
Let's see. Wayne and I have both gone for Utah. We went Oppo on the Big 12.
This is terrible.
Oppo on the Sun Belt. I feel comfortable. It feels like 1980. Go Dawgs. Sick 'em.
Wow. All right. Very good. I'll be working this game, so I can't pick. I mean, like Herbie, I can't pick this game.
Can't pick it.
I can't. It
goes down
fair
as an automatic L, but that's okay.
It does not go down. I'm
it's part of the rules.
I am abstaining from picking on this game because I gotta work it. I'll be there.
I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer in abstinence. Okay, so just stop it.
I'm spoken like a true quarterback. Okay, unbelievable. By the way, SEC Radio Network, Saturday, check us out. Your boy will be on the sidelines. We're on a bunch of radio stations.
Oh, yeah, like you always do this game, right?
I've done
it.
You
do the championship game every year.
I've done it the last 3 or 4 years, yeah.
You're legendary.
I put my Wayne Cook hat on.
You know what's so fun?
I just goose sidelines like my man Cookie.
Hey, when I listen to the Blitz and I hear your voice, and then they have that commercial where the raspy voice guy comes on and tells everybody,
"Hey, this is Wayne Cook. Check me out."
I just get pretty fired up, man. It's just, I mean, we need to get Serber to do one of those reads. You kidding me?
The best part is when I hear Serber's commercials on like the Western Kentucky Hilltopper Radio Network, and I'm like, "My man, Serb, selling T-shirts."
So me and Dad were listening to the South Carolina broadcast on the way home from the Clemson South Carolina game. And like the post game show, and one of the spots I voice came on, he's like,
"Nice,
is that you?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's me." He was like, "It doesn't even sound like you, man." And
that's
I was
amazing.
Like, "Thank you."
That's amazing. Awesome. Server, a couple of years ago, you were not voicing spots guy. Now you're like, "Give me the spot, just give me the damn spot. I'll read it. I don't care. Let's go. You want me to sell you some t-shirts? Let's go.
I'm gonna start producing t-shirts that say we need more Server."
Yeah,
that's what we need.
We had an Apple Podcast review a couple years ago. It said more Serbs. By the way, leave us a review. If you like the show, we just had the best month ever in the history of CSN in terms of download numbers. Leave us a review. Let us know how you really feel. It can be nasty. I don't care. I just want a review. Like, let's boost the algorithm here. Let's do it. All right. Big Ten. Actually, no. I'm going in chronological order here. Kicking off alongside Georgia-Alabama, which is unfortunate because this is a game. I'm excited to watch this game. But no one will watch it because it's going up against, you know, basically the NFL version of what they do on Saturday. Houston-Cincinnati, AAC championship game. Fellas, Houston has won 11 games in a row. They started the year 0-1. They lost to Texas Tech in a neutral site, and they've reeled off 11 straight. They're up to 21 in the polls. They're a 10.5-point underdog at Cincinnati. Do you believe in chaos, gentlemen? Either one of you guys want to ride with Dana Holgorsen and the Cougs?
Give me that crispy, crispy, crispy hair, Cougs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
Since he's been playing with fire all season long, like they have been, that's a hell of a win over Notre Dame, and that's why they're in this spot, right? That's why they're not where UCF was a few years ago, because they gotta win over a team that's in contention to get into this thing too. But like, they've not been convincing for the past 2 months to me. Like, they've had a couple games, but for the most part, they've been up against it a few, like, uncomfortably close to getting upset a few times. And I think this time it happens.
Server, your pick'em fortune may rest in the balance of this game. I mean, you're really forcing Wayne's hand here. I love it. This is great.
So you're expecting me to respond here. So here's what's crazy about this pick. I'm channeling my Phil Steele right now because we've heard him say this many times. This game is much harder for Cincinnati than it is for Houston. They're sitting in the playoffs. If they win, they're most likely in. Although, I should say that that's not a guarantee. They could sit here and look at a one-loss conference champion and bump Cincinnati out of it because of their strength of schedule. So this game not only matters, but I think the style points matter. They're a 10.5-point favorite. So the idea that Cincinnati has to win this with all the pressure. But I'm going to say that this team is battle-tested. Even though they've struggled, they always find a way to win. So I am going to pick Cincinnati here, Serbs. It would have been easy for me to just follow you and pick Houston so it doesn't hurt me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I want them to stay in this because I want to see what the committee does with a 12-0 team, with a one-loss team maybe sitting behind them at the fivers, like an Oklahoma State team sitting there with one loss and a championship. Would they bump Cincinnati out of it? I think that's an interesting thought. So anyway, I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I think Coach Fickell and this group's going to be ready.
Let me ask you a question. I'm with Cincinnati too, by the way. Wayne, if Cincinnati wins, Oklahoma State wins, and Georgia wins, Oklahoma State's at 5.
Yep.
Alabama's at 3. You would think Alabama drops off, but like in that scenario, if chalk holds is basically what I'm asking.
Georgia. Well, Alabama would be out, and then Oklahoma State would get in and Cincinnati, right?
You think Cincinnati gets in?
Yeah, if Cincinnati stays at undefeated and Alabama has two losses. Because remember, the A&M loss, I know they're still in the top 25, but they are a four-loss team. You know, that's not – and Cincinnati, let's say, you know, because we know that Notre Dame's not going to lose. I mean, the problem is I think somebody – I think I heard this somewhere – strength of schedule, Alabama's like 60 points higher than Cincinnati is. So it's really, really tricky. But why would the playoff committee have Cincinnati in one of the top four spots right now and then have them win and knock them out? So I don't know. I mean, that's a trick. This is, again, this goes back to everything that I've been talking about. I think it's stupid. I think both teams should have a chance to, but that's not the system we're in. I would hope that if Alabama loses that they're out, especially since the Auburn Bowl was so close, especially since the Florida game was so close, and those two teams don't have great records this year.
So if you're a Cincinnati fan,
you want Alabama to lose.
As long as Georgia handles their business.
Yep.
And Cincinnati handles their business, you think the Bearcats are in?
As long as Alabama goes out, then you move up school because Notre Dame's not going to jump Cincinnati.
You would think.
Right? So in Oklahoma State in this scenario, if they win, if they beat Baylor, they would get in. But it'd be even more helpful if Baylor beats Oklahoma State.
Dude,
then it's really easy path for Cincinnati.
If I realize Georgia hasn't won a national championship in 41 years, and they've become a bit of a punchline because of it. If you've got Georgia in a college football playoff with Michigan, Cincinnati, and Oklahoma State, folks, you will never. I'm talking to Georgia fans. You will never have a better path. And now, I understand you have to go through Big Bad Bama on Saturday to get there. You're knocking out the one team that scares you. And the fact that Ohio State, you don't have to deal with that offense because Michigan took care of it for you. But, man, I feel like we've been saying this since October.
So slow down, though.
This is the best chance Georgia has ever had and will ever have to win a national championship in the modern college football era.
You're correct. You're correct. But that I think you're sliding because in this scenario, you're sliding what Oklahoma State's defense has done all year, but I think you're really sliding Michigan.
Yeah, you're right.
Michigan has shown that they're, like, legitimately good. They should have beat Michigan State. You guys, they were up by 18. They kind of blew that game on the road in a hostile environment, whatever. But they lost it. Okay. Michigan, there's matchups here. If you're going to go play physical football, I think, I mean, you telling me that, and I don't know how the seeding's going to work, where who plays who, but if we get a matchup in a championship of Michigan, like if Michigan stays at number two, if we get a matchup between Michigan and Georgia in the national championship game, I think college football and the networks and the people are ecstatic. I think that's a great matchup.
Yeah, I think Michigan will lose to Cincinnati in the semis if that happens.
They might. They might.
McNamara and McCarthy, whoever's a quarterback for Michigan, is going to get snapped in half by big number 99. Are you kidding me?
You're high.
Georgia's going to smoke those guys.
No, but okay, whatever you think, because I get it. I think it's a great matchup. I think it'd be fun. I'm not saying I wouldn't pick Georgia to win.
It's a great helmet matchup.
Michigan, Georgia, that's like an old school. It feels like we went back in time. Right?
Yeah. And we have gone back in time because Michigan's players are still slow. They're not. I mean, I'm teasing. It's just, look, Georgia's so, here's the thing. Georgia is so much better.
You don't think Edwards is a great athlete for Michigan and only a freshman?
Yeah, they've got some nice pieces, man.
No, they've got some, but they're no SEC players.
Well,
yeah. It just means more.
Boy, does it. It does. All right, let's get back on track. I'm going to ride with Cincinnati. Serber, you're going out on an island picking Houston. I respect the hell out of you for it, though. I really do. Let's go to Charlotte at night. Wake Forest, Pitt for the ACC championship. I'll go first here because who cares? I'm going to ride with Wake, local team. I mean, the over-under for this game in Vegas, 73 points. This is my kind of game. Just points galore. Kenny Pickett's been great. He will be in New York City. I'm going to take Sam Hartman, Dave Clawson, and them boys. So give me Wake. They're a slight underdog. Pitt's favored by 3. I'm going to go with Wake in this game. Wayne, what say you?
Wake Forest is a team that you cannot underestimate, right?
People have been all year.
They just score and score and score, and yet Pickett and company are favored by 3. I mean, this is as good of a matchup, I think, as we have. I mean, this is a great game. Wow.
It's a coin flip game. There are few coin flip games on the board Saturday.
I know. I don't know. I'm so torn right here. Looks like Pitt's favored, right? By a field goal?
Yes, we've established that Pitt is a slight favorite in this game.
I'm stalling a little bit right now. How are you leaning there, Serber?
Serber, you want to shoot your shot here, Serber?
Heck no. He's trying to get bailed out here.
I am. Because this one could go either way.
He's just going to go with whoever I pick. No, Wayne.
No. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with Wake, and I'm going to say that Wake's going to outscore him.
Okay. I like it.
Wow. I mean, I'm sweating right now. That was that tough of a call.
If Sam Hartman keeps the original haircut, the original flow, the like Melrose Place mid-90s, I mean, the guy looked good. He looked really good.
Until he didn't.
Now, he looks like someone who showed up to be cast as an extra in like a Mad Max movie, but they were like, nah, dude, what'd you do to your hair? And frankly, they didn't look great down the stretch. Because I don't know that the win over BC is really impressive. Kenny Pickett, on the other hand,
he's really good.
He's gonna be a top 5 pick, right? Pick, Wayne?
Yeah,
he's the first QB off the board, I think.
Yeah. This isn't a great year.
It's not a great year, but he's the guy this year.
Yeah, he's good. I like him.
You should have picked him because I'm going to. Pitt.
Yeah,
hail to Pitt.
Hail Pitt.
Hail to Pitt.
Good pick. Boy, it's going to get sweaty Saturday, guys. The pick'em's going to come down to these games. I love it. I think it's great. I'm here for it. I really am. All right, last but not
the fact
least,
that we're going more than three games is really disturbing.
We're picking seven games, boys and girls. We don't shy away from the big ones here.
This is making up the rules as we go.
We did shy away from the Mountain West because who cares? I mean, honestly, Utah State. Who cares?
We just lost like 15 followers.
Nobody listens to this show in Utah. I've got the DMAs in front of me, and I can tell you, like, not one person has ever listened to the show in Utah, except for Bill Riley.
I'm very big in Utah.
All right,
I go on ESPN radio in Utah on a regular basis. Very big
fan of Bill Riley. He is a friend of the show. Outside of Salt Lake City, I mean, we're not big in Logan. So sorry, Utah State. Sorry. Yep. Hashtag geography. All right, Michigan, Iowa, Big Ten championship. I hope that they don't go the cheap route like they did last year and not even paint the end zones. Guys, you're the Big Ten. You get more money from TV than the SEC does. Paint the end zones. Quit being cheap. Quit being lazy. Do your damn job. It was a bad look last year. Do you guys remember that?
Where is this game played?
It's in Indianapolis. It's where the Colts play.
Oh, yeah, they're playing where we're going to be for the national championship, correct?
Lucas, Wayne, you're not supposed to break that news.
Well, I didn't say. I mean, I was hopeful.
We had a special announcement planned. It's buried in the show. Nobody will hear it. We'll save it for later. We may or may not be in Indianapolis. We may or may not have T-shirts printed that say CS Indy. See what I did there?
No, really?
See what I did there? You like that?
Yeah, I love that.
CS Indy. Anyway, Michigan, Iowa. Boys.
Am I first?
I mean, well, let's Serber went last, so listen.
You should go first here.
I'm not going to change my pick on this one.
You're in last place.
I do not have faith in Iowa. Sorry. No. At some point, you've got to score points. So I'm going to go with Michigan. They are a 10.5 point favorite in this game. No surprise. I'll ride with the Wolverines.
Wayne, go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hunter, I think that the only chance Iowa would have in this game is if they were playing this at Iowa. I think Michigan's a better team. I like my boy Cade McNamara throwing the ball around. I think this team, and by the way, I know I've he's become my adopted QB of the year, and he's had a pretty good year. So yeah, I'm going with Michigan.
I am doing the math here. I'm four games back of Wayne right now.
That's correct. You guys are oppo on 1, 2, 3. You're oppo on four games.
And I'm oppo on four games. Hawkeyes.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I didn't come in this game checking. I didn't come in this game for a tie. You kidding me? Wayne, you ever play poker with an old-timer and you check and they ever give you one of the old check shit? I didn't come in this game checking. You ever get got with one of those before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not checking.
You're
I want
not
Iowa.
Checking. Okay.
I love it.
That's a good pick.
It. Phenomenal. Phenomenal stuff. So there you go. That we have picked every game of championship weekend, except for the shitty games. We've passed over those. So there you go.
You don't want to pick the USC Cal game?
No. And the fact that these guys are playing it's a tragedy. It's so dumb. I get it, but at the same time.
No, but what happened in Cal was crazy.
Yeah, I know. They're COVID crazy in Berkeley. And you know
that
what else?
That was crazy. I mean, 99% of their players are vaccinated.
Look, I don't have a hard time saying this. Like, I'll speak freely on this. Nobody in Berkeley cares about college sports. Somebody needs to go in there and save Justin Wilcox. Get him out of there.
He was a big name for Washington.
I know, but then
so
they
now,
were like,
because
"Why
he
do
is
we
a
want...
very, very good coach." Although
he's a great defensive coach. He's had some bad offensive coordinators in Berkeley. Yeah. And you got to score points in modern college football. It helps to be able to score. Yeah. I like Justin Wilcox. I like him, but yeah, man,
they just got demoralized by UCLA, so yeah, they're hurting right now.
The fact that they're playing a Pac-12 regular season game the day after the Pac-12 championship is so dumb.
I know.
But you know what? There'll be some degenerate out there. I mean, I don't want to name names or point fingers, but there'll be somebody who, you know, pushes a couple bills across the window just because it's a late game on a Saturday night. And why not? Right? That is a late game, isn't it?
The fact that it's 8 out here. The fact that Cal is favored is interesting to me. I mean, SC just played. I mean, like, UCLA whooped SC, but it was a good game for three quarters. And then BYU, which is a pretty darn good team, they had to hold on. So it's not like SC doesn't have any firepower. And to be honest with you, Cal looked pretty bad. So I don't know. That'd be a hard game to pick, actually. I'm glad we're not picking it.
Like, I mean, both teams are 4-7. There's not even bowl eligibility on
the line. When they scheduled the game, though, they both had a chance to go 6-6.
I get it. No, I understand. Listen, I thought SC was – I thought they were done, and they almost beat BYU last week.
Yep.
So, yeah, I would not touch this game with a 10-foot pole, okay? Even if it is the last game on the board on Championship Saturday, 11 o'clock Eastern kick. Yikes. All right, boys, that's our show. We're back on Thursday. Mike Golick will be stopping by for a little three and out, and then Felder Friday, and that's it. Next week, we've got bowl games galore. We got to talk about the playoff. I mean, let's go around the room. Cincinnati, you think they're going to get in? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Sir?
Yeah, because I picked them. If they end up winning, I mean, I think they're going to keep them in.
No.
Yeah, I think they're going to get burned.
I think who's going to take their spot?
I think they could lose. I think they could lose to Dana.
No, they might. But if they win, who's, because this is possible. It's possible that one of the Power Five conference teams wins their conference championship, and they're behind them right now. But when they look at the whole body of work, Cincinnati could get bumped. That could happen. Like we said, Oklahoma State's behind them right now. They win a conference championship, and Cincinnati's sitting at four. It is very possible that Oklahoma State jumps in front.
I mean, it would be cruel if Cincinnati's sitting there at 13-0, but Georgia can't beat Bama. And the irony there is that Cincinnati had Georgia beat in that same building in the Peach Bowl a year ago. And
you have to be careful, though, because remember, that's a game when there was Georgia players not really playing, or it didn't mean as much.
I know. But
so bowl games are tricky to use.
Those games are happening at the same time. You could have a situation. It could be like at the final day of like the EPL where like all the teams are playing at the same time. And so somebody's like won their game, but they don't know what's happened in the other game, and they think they've won the league. And like, I'm just like, it could be a cruel and bizarre scene if Cincinnati wins their game. Because remember, the Big 12 game's before theirs. So there's that, like, that's the noon game. They'll know about Oklahoma State Baylor. They'll know if Baylor pulls the upset, they'll be feeling really good. But you still gotta handle your business. If Georgia loses to Bama, Cincy's gonna get left out.
Because those two teams are in the top four right now too. So if Georgia does lose to Bama, then Georgia and Alabama still stay in the top four. That doesn't mean Cincinnati's out.
Yeah, but if Oklahoma State wins, they're going to get leaked.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it could happen.
It could get weird. But I'm with you, Server. Man, I don't know. It'd be a great story. It'd be very cool. I wonder when Luke Fickell to Notre Dame gets announced. Do you think we get through the weekend before that comes out? Does that come out on Sunday? That could get weird. He's got to stick around.
Know. They may already know.
Got to keep it under wraps if that's a playoff team, though. I mean, you got to stay, right? You got to stay. Yep. Wayne, how will you be spending Championship Saturday?
On the couch.
Good for you,
man. Just watching games, baby. I cannot wait.
Good for you. I'm happy for you. That'll be fun. Enjoy it. I know you will. Drink like 13 Michelob Ultras, just like your boy Brooks Koepka, okay? Oh, man, we didn't even talk about golf. I'll save it. The Tiger Woods press conference was sad today. It made me sad.
No, I didn't see it. I heard some things, though.
It was sad. It was really sad. For Server, for Wayne, I'm Hartzell. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday, everybody. Peace.